You are Locked On Pacers, your daily Indiana Pacers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome in to the Locked On Pacers podcast. My name is Adam Friedman. As always, I'm a staff writer at IndyCornRows.com. And on today's episode, I'm going to preview the Thad Young season. A quick note before we get to that, though. I know there was a preseason game yesterday. I'm not going to talk a ton about it because I don't like to overreact or read too much into basically an unimportant game. But I will talk about it for a quick second because it was at least the first taste of basketball we've had. What, going on 5 months for the Pacers, right? It's October, and last time they played was, well, they played April 30th, so almost 6 months for the Pacers. And then since like June, it's been the NBA Finals. So just quick little, I guess, note on it. One, Victor Oladipo looked like he's going to have another Victor Oladipo Pacers season, which I mean by that is he's going to be awesome again, it looks like. He shot 50% from the field, 40% from three. I mean, I don't know if the numbers really matter. It's more the style, I guess I would say. And looked confident, looked ready to go, looked like he is not going to take a step back. Let's put it that way. I don't know if he's going to make a huge leap, but at least he's going to be the same player, which is awesome. Because I mean, last year, I think he was a top, I mean, I don't have anything to make him top 15, but realistically probably top 20 player in the league last year. And if he does that again, the Pacers have a pretty good shot making the playoffs. I think if you have a top 20 player, you have a pretty good shot going to the playoffs. Other highlights, I guess Sabonis, I thought played really well off the bench. Edmund Sumner had some highlight plays that were awesome to see for a guy who tore his ACL and has been sort of not talked about. I mean, the Pacers, I mean, Tony talks about him a ton, so I don't want to say we don't talk about this podcast, but he is an unknown commodity at this point for the Pacers. Still, good to see him playing well. I thought Tyreek Leaf wasn't actually terrible in the replacement of Thad. Obviously, we didn't see Thad Young or Tyreek Evans, but I thought Tyreek Leaf played pretty decent and gave him a lot of minutes. Interesting to see how that trends the regular season. Like I said, with Leaf, it's about building confidence. So looking good in the preseason, feeling confident going into the regular season so he can have a good season. Because if he can have a good regular season or kind of crack the rotation, again, that changes the dynamic for the Pacers because it makes them a 10-man deep team, allows them to play him at the stretch four, which is sort of eases all concerns at the power forward spot that I have at the Pacers right now. But I don't know if Lee Stevens is going to be there, but if he's offensively there, it shows signs that he can get there to possibly being a rotation power forward, which is pretty, you know, that's the kind of the goal out of a late 20, or I guess he's 18, but even a team guy pick in the late teens to early 20s. And then other little tidbits, notes, you know, I don't think Turner was fantastic, but I did like the one play where they let him bring the ball up and feed off to Vic. Oh, that was interesting. I was kind of pushing for that. I wonder if he'll bring the ball up a little more in the season, but who knows? I mean, that's, like I said, you can't read too much into this preseason. I didn't like all the minutes guys played. I thought it was odd that Nate McMillan played all his starters at least 20 minutes. I guess he didn't really have the bodies. He didn't really go deep into the bench like I thought he would. Maybe he was just trying to get guys their first game and kind of get some conditioning and get something under them. But overall, though, like I said, really kind of an unimportant game, but good to watch basketball again and watch Saturday's game, and then I'll have a little more of an informed take because I've seen two games and it'll be a little bit more of a sample size to at least discuss and have some idea. But again, none of this really, really matters until you get to the regular season, because last year in the preseason, I watched them and I thought they could be decent, but I didn't know if they'd be that good, and then they came out and were awesome. So you just don't know. So we'll see how that goes. But now I'll take a quick break and then we'll talk about Thaddeus Young's season preview. Welcome back in. So Thaddeus Young is heading into, let me do this real fast, heading into his 12th NBA season. Wow, that's a long time in the league. I believe he came out of 1 year of college. He was 19 when he joined the league. I believe he played 1 year at Georgia Tech, if I believe that's right. But entering his third season with the Pacers, surprisingly, there's been a notable drop in his Pacers stats, for his career stats. He was traded for the 22nd overall pick. You know, he came in as a guy who was averaging 15, 9, and 6, or 9, no, not 15 points and 9 rebounds. This is Tuesday's the game, and he was sort of thought out that he could do that again, be kind of the third guy, I guess, in the Pacers team originally, to Paul George, then Jeff Teague, then him, or maybe the fourth guy wherever Turner fell. But he came in, his stats kind of fell off. In a sense, he dropped his points per game. His rebounds fell. Granted, that's part of being more of a system than just being the focal point like he was in Brooklyn. But then he kind of leveled off and was consistent, and that's what's been his most staple part of his Pacer career, is that he is the most consistent player on this team, night in, night out. I guess Vic would consider to be the most consistent last year, but in terms of just, like, you know what you're getting, and you're not going to get something fantastic, but you're not going to get terrible. One night you're going to get this consistent, like I said, 11.6 rebounds, good defense, playing hard, probably 46 to 47% from the field. Hopefully mid-30s from three last year. We dropped to 32. He got a little better for the line last year, too. Got a 60% almost. That helped his overall play. I guess this year the big question with him is his first season he shot 38% from three, then hurt his wrist, and obviously didn't really shoot any more threes. And the thought out there was, well, was that because he had a hurt wrist? Was that it was his 40% normally him? What was kind of the whole thought that came back this year, did not shoot great from three, shot 32%. Has the ability to hit the three. I mean, has a decent shot, doesn't have bad form, doesn't look like it's a little bit of a slow release, but he's a power forward who got shag off, so he has time. I guess the real thing for him is, can he get that numbers into the mid to high 30s? Because that would really kind of elevate again his game. I think with every player I've previewed is 3-point percentage up. But it's because they all have this potential. But the Pacers were that young, really, I mean, in terms of form and, you know, like looking like he can hit the three, he has it all, so it's just executing it at times. It's not like a weird-looking shot or it's uncomfortable form he's taken, you know, over the last, I think, look at his last basically six seasons, all but one he didn't take more than 1.5 threes. So he's a guy who can do it. So it's executing it for him, I think, because that would sort of make him a stretch player and really kind of extend the lineup in a way that would be super helpful and allow him to honestly be even more effective than he is. Defensively, I think he's the Pacers' most reliable defender night in, night out, in terms of he can guard your small forward, he can guard your power forward, he can occasionally guard your center, he's making deflections, he's making plays on defense, he's going to be a tough guy to score on. I mean, that's all the things he does really well. And that's where he's really the most valuable, is that he is their small forward, really good wing, even some center defender. Like, he guards the players, usually the other team's best player at times. Obviously, the point guard is different, but if it's the LeBron Jameses, the Paul Georges, the Giannis Antetokounmpos, those kind of guys he guards, and he'll probably guard Kawhi. He'll probably have to end up guarding Gordon Hayward, Jason Tatum, depending on who they play out there. I mean, that's the kind of players he ends up guarding, and so that's why he is really valuable to this team. His deflections last year were awesome, and that was huge for the Pacers and a reason really why their defense was able to be so effective. They were able to use other defenders like Bojan and Collison to play up on guys and force passes. And then they used Thad and Vic to cut off passing lanes with their long arms and create turnovers. And then they also, the back end, used Turner. If a defender got beat, Turner was kind of the last defense for them. But that's what he's good at, and I think that's really where you have to look at him this season, is will his defense not drop off? He's, you know, entering his year 32. He's going to be, he's going to be 32. Well, I guess he'll be 30, entering year 31, sorry. He'll be 31 in next summer. So really he'll be 30 this year, first year in his 30s. So he's not as old as I guess I perceive him to be. Like I said, he's been in the league a long, long, long time. But, you know, usually NBA primes are 28 to 32, 27 to 31, so he's kind of right at that edge. Is there any drop-off in his game this year? Who knows? He's never been, you know, wow you with speed. He's been kind of a bigger dude that can stretch the floor, and he can move well, but he's not, like, going to blow by you with his incredible speed. So that's the question, is there any, you know, does he lose some of that ability to take blows? You know, does that affect his longevity? He's played a lot of games over the last, for many years, the last three seasons, he's played basically 73 or more games. He played 76 games the year before that, 79. So, I mean, he really only had a couple years where he played 60 games early in his career, but he's been kind of a 70-plus games a year. He played 81 games last year. He basically played every game since the last one, so he was durable last year. That's also a positive. I know he had a little bit of some minor injuries to his leg, I think, last year, and he still played through them. So there's all that stuff going for him, and that's kind of where he was more valuable to this team than anything else. You know, any kind of on-paper stat he could do, it was being out there every night, playing the minutes he played the most in the team, second most in the team on 32, and just constantly, no, it was most in the team, sorry, and constant, really being a solid defender. So, you know, I it's hard for me to put actual numbers on what I want him to do this year because, you know, I think he's still an effective player if he's 9 points and five rebounds a game. You know, if he was 11 and six last year, I think he probably has to stay in the six rebound range just because Pacers don't have a ton of rebounders if they don't place a bonus and turn together. Their wing players are not great defenders or not great rebounders, so that's a huge issue. So he has to think still be the six rebound mark, but if he's at 9 points, 8 points, I'm still not concerned yet. Because as long as he's playing defense, I'm good. I'm happy with him. So then that's kind of where it's important. In terms of playing with other guys, in terms of new players, I guess, I'd love to see how he plays with Bogdanović and Tyreke Evans. I think he'll be similar, actually, to the way he plays with Oladipo and Bogdanović. It's sort of like a lesser version of those guys, but it's similar enough. That'll be interesting to watch how they do that. Because, like I said, Thad played some minutes with the bench unit. He was... Put a lot of minutes with the Pacers team, so he did play minutes with the bench guys. The thing about that is, I'm not sure you really kind of. I think last year they played him mainly with Vic and tried to play him together and just, you know, take him out at the same kind of times. It wasn't any of the staggering because, you know, they have the ability, I guess, if they're going to play Sabonis at the four to do that. The thing this year though, they don't really have a small forward, power forward. They didn't really have him last year either in terms of backup. They played Booker a lot towards the end, and they. You know, they played, for anything else, I guess they really only played Booker, so at power forward at times last year. So it'll be interesting to see how they do that, how that works. You know, is he going to play some of the bench? But I think he's going to have a pretty good year, in my opinion. I think it's, again, it's a contract year for him. I know last year kind of was because he gets the option. But this year is the for real contract year because if he has a good year, if he shoots well from three, which is kind of the key, he can probably get a nice little 2 or 3 year deal worth the 50 range. I mean, he's made a lot of money in his career, so, I mean, not that money is the end game, but he does, you know, he's got two young kids, you know, he wants to set them up for the future and stuff like that. But I think 3-point percentage, again, is where I would really look for him. If he could just, not even 40%, I'm talking like 36%, makes him at least effective from 3-point range, makes him guardable. His free throw percentage, as much as I think he could get better, or want to get better is the right way to say it, I don't think it will. He just, sometimes, he doesn't seem to be able to make that free throw. I don't know what it is. You know, he's got good touch around the rim at times. He's not like, you know, sometimes he clunks balls when he's off rhythm, but he's not a bad, you know, shooter overall. Just the free throws are not there. And I do remember his freshman in Indiana, that was something the team took advantage of. He only shot 52% from the free throw land. So we'll see how that works. I guess if I had, I'd be optimistic, maybe get in the mid-60s, at least makes him, you know, again, not a liability, not somebody you can hack constantly. But to be honest, I think the three is where he's got to be, and he's going to continue to be a solid defender, which I expect. I think we'll see a little bit drop off in him, I think, in terms of point production. I think some of his shots will go to Turner. I think he'll take a step back in that sense, but I don't think he'll hurt his overall value for the team, and I hope he has a good year, because I think he should be on this Pacer team. Obviously, if he's making, he should make $20 million a year, but if he's making 10 to 12, it's enough to start a year and be on the bench a couple more years. And he, you know, he's the kind of player who's good for the locker room. He's good for the chemistry. He'd be a great bench power forward, great bench player. You know, he has, late in his career, he has all those tools, in my opinion, to be a really good just veteran bench player and late in his career, as long as he's not being paid too much money. And, you know, I think the fans like him here. I think the players like him. I think he likes it here. I think he's sort of annoyed at Pritchard right now. The sense I got after the season was that he was annoyed that Pritchard kind of wanted to go away from him, was willing to not offer him a long-term deal. But I think that was more of the Pacers trying to hold on their cap space. I could easily see if he has a really good year, they say, hey, 3 years, 30, want to come back? Boom, take it, he comes back. I mean, that's maybe too simple, but I could see them doing that. I think they just wanted to push their cap space one more summer. They wanted the tantalizingness of what's out there versus what they have, which ultimately I think it won't materialize as much, and they'll end up re-signing a lot of their free agents next summer anyways. But just the ability to have the cap space is something that the Pacers valued. With Thad Young, I don't think I got anything else on him really I want to discuss. If you guys have any more questions about Thad Young or any thoughts on the Pacers, please send questions with me and Tony talk about on the podcast. Tweet us at LockedOnPacers. Tweet at me at FriedmanAdam5. Tony at TSNBA. We answer all those. We'll try to, you know, if you have questions, just send them. We'll try to incorporate that into our show. We love hearing what you guys, the fans, want to talk about. We'll be back on Monday with our, well, Tony's got up actually an interesting pod talking with Chris Manning, I think, of Locked On Cavs, and he's Fear the Sword, which is the Cavs SB Nation site. Then me and Tony back on Tuesday, and then we'll be previewing players to end the week, and that'll be, and then we'll be back in regular season mode because the Pacers start, what, it's the, today is the October 5th, if you're listening to this podcast, so they start in 12 days, so we'll be back in NBA mode, and that's going to be awesome. So that's all for this Locked On Pacers podcast. As always, have a great rest of your day.